Well, excuse me, but I was busy. I was busy, and y'all will want to know why. I don't know how to say your last name. Pa Merlot. Susan Llewellyn Pa Merlot is with us today. Truce Llewellyn's daughter is with us today. And you all will want to know that her father passed away earlier this year, before the pandemic hit. And it's so nice to have you here. Got to catch up. I was the youth minister for her niece and nephew, by the way, in Georgia. Her nephew gave me a run for my money, and her niece babysat my children. Anyway, good morning. We have a few announcements as we begin today. Of course, the most important is they pulled my tooth out. I'm so much better. Yeah, well, they did, but that is not the most important. Today is the beginning of our stewardship campaign, and you're going to hear all about that in a little bit. Let's see, Sandwich Ministry needs you. I'm looking at you. On Fridays at 3:15 to help make sandwiches, and Saturdays at 8:15 to put lunches together, and if you'd like to help distribute them, at 10 o'clock at the Methodist Church. Blankets are being made at 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings. They need you there. And October 23rd and 24th is our Zoom retreat. It's on prayer and discernment, congregational discernment. It will be wonderful. You need to register with the church office. If you have any questions, give me a call. And the nominating committee is busy at work. Here's the form. Y'all need to put your names on this. Fill it out. And the stewardship flyer's in there. You need to read that. And you, whatever your name is, you're on, sir.
Good morning. Okay, we'll try this again because we had to try this again at the first service, too. Good morning. That's better. All right. Welcome to First Christian Church. If you noticed as you came in the door, there were some little different things we had you do this morning. As you're all aware, the COVID cases are increasing in Wyoming as throughout the nation and also in Casper. So we had a meeting of the opening up committee that's been watching the COVID cases and making sure that we are staying in line to keep everybody safe along with the elders. And the unanimous decision is that we would keep the church open. There was some concern. There are a few places around that are beginning to shut back down because of the COVID increase, but we have decided the church is an important part of our lives, and so we're going to keep that open. But in light of that, we have some new guidelines that we're going to ask you to abide by. And that is, one is make sure you keep social distancing in mind as you move about the church and that, and wear masks. During that time period, if you can't social distance at that time. We ask that everybody use the hand sanitizer before they come in, everybody. And we're gonna check your temperatures before you come in. And as always, if you don't feel well, we ask you not to come to church, but you can get a hold of me or Karen, and we'll be happy to drop by a communion packet, and you can listen to the service on the web, because we do have it on the web. Now, probably the one that's going to make the biggest difference here right now is the decision was made for the temporary time period that we will not sing hymns. We will not sing hymns during the service. So I know some of you are disappointed in that. Some of you are excited in the fact that you'll probably get to the restaurant before the Baptists do. And that, but Don't get too excited because Karen is going to use the Psalms as scripture, so we all know that goes on forever and ever. So anyway, if you have comments, questions, or concerns about this, please feel free to reach out to me. I'll be happy to discuss this with you. But right now, our main emphasis is keeping everybody safe and healthy. So thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? The heavens and the earth, the wind and the waters, God made it all.
And it was good.
The light and the darkness, every tiny seed, every tall tree, God made it all.
And it was good.
The birds of the air, the inhabitants of the seas, every animal that moves on the earth, and yes, you and me, God made us all.
We are made in the image of God, the Creator. God calls us very good. We are made for goodness. God delights in us.
With glad hearts, let us worship God,
the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of our souls. Let us pray. O loving Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to praise your name and to worship in this sanctuary. We ask you to lay your hand upon us, keep us healthy, and take care of those who are in need of your love and health. God, we know you are with us each and every day. The beauty surrounds us. And we are so ever thankful for everything that you have given us. As we think of this, let us pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. As we come now to our time of prayer, we have several concerns to share today. And a joy is that Judy Potter's daughter, Cindy, had surgery this week because of blood clots, and she is at home and doing well. So that is very good news. Paul Smith is not here today. He has been having some trouble regulating his diabetes, and he has a cold. So please remember him. Joy is Keith has a new job as an archivist in the Western History Center up at Casper College. That's very good news. We're glad for that. Janice, how are you? Okay. Okay. Keep you in our prayers. This has been a busy weekend. Cindy Huckfeldt had her knee go out on her, so she is at home. Nancy Breland, yes, tripped and planted her face in some concrete, ended up with some stitches on the top of her head, and she's very thankful it wasn't any worse than it was. So she is at home with that. Bill Mosteller is in the hospital, Wyoming Medical Center. They're not sure what exactly is going on. He didn't have a heart attack, though, so that's good news. But they're still trying to figure out what's going on with him. So please hold him and Linda in your prayers closely. Hurricane Delta went through the exact place that Hurricane Laura already went through, and there are still wildfires burning in the country, and Annette Ambrosino is not doing well right now. So are there other joys or concerns to share this morning? Debbie. Yes. Grateful for that. Yep. Pat, hi. Okay, did you just say that your brother John is in the hospital with COVID?
Yes.
And it's about the eighth or ninth day?
Yes.
And he's doing well?
Pretty well.
Pretty well. Okay. Let's join together in prayer. Creating and sustaining God, whose spirit stirred over the waters and created light and life and all things good, we have gathered this holy morning all together in one place, aching for your presence, waiting to be gathered together with you. We ask that you would move among us this day and bathe our withered and tired spirits in your living waters. For this amazing miracle of life and for the love of one another, God, we are eternally grateful. For it is in the nearness of a loved one, in the laughter of friends, it is in the conversation whose tenderness lies far beyond words, binding souls together, that we begin to understand your abiding and everlasting friendship. We come this day concerned afraid and worried for our world's well-being, praying for healing, praying for peace, even as we confess to you it's difficult to see our way through. It is difficult to live peacefully, even within our own families. Forgive us, O God. We long to be transformed in our relationships, especially here in your church, O God. For our greatest desire here is to follow the one who brings healing, the one who brings peace. And so we ask, you bring us a love that is genuine, a watchfulness in our relationships that honors and remembers and is aware of your presence among us. We remember today those who grieve, especially those who have lost loved ones because of the virus throughout our world. Give us ears to hear the cries of Rachel weeping for her children. Hear our prayers for the suffering and the sick, even as we also pray for those who watch and wait with them. Comfort them, O God. Comfort us, for you will wipe every tear from our eyes. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
So at the first service this morning, I came in to get prepared, and the first thing I did was go up and light the candles. And the candles lit. We got started in the service. I sat down and I looked over. The candles were out. You know, and I sat there for a little bit, and I kind of had a frown on my face, and I said, you know, that's just kind of the epitome of 2020. The lights started bright at the beginning of the year, and darkness keeps seeming to edge more and more. And sometimes it's hard to see the light. But then I remembered that we were created in the likeness of Jesus and God. And the communion table allows us to share in the bread and the juice to nourish our souls and to rekindle the light within us. Because you see, the light lives within us that allows us to go forward and spread God's love, hope, and faith. So, as we come to the communion table this morning, remember that even if the candles aren't lit, the light is within you. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, we are thankful to take part in this nourishment of our souls and the rekindling of the light within us. We know that your sacrifice was great so that we may go forward and spread hope, faith, and joy amongst everyone. Let us use this nourishment to the benefit of you. In these things we ask, amen. I was asked to talk a little bit about what the church means to me for the stewardship campaign. So I got asked on Friday evening. I thought about it Friday evening, Saturday evening, and this morning, and I tried to come up with something that would be witty and creative, but I got nothing. So sometimes at our office, at our leadership group, we go around the table and ask, what's one word that describes something today, whether it's your feeling or the day or something along that line? And the one word that came to mind when I thought about the church was his family. You see, because having grown up in the church and participated in churches in Wyoming and Nebraska, it's quite evident that I have an extended family of cousins, aunts and uncles, and grandparents that I've met, that I would have never gotten an opportunity to know these people. I would have never gotten the opportunity to maybe understand something that was important that I could continue on doing to celebrate God. You see, that's what the church is family. And we all do that. We're all family here. And so whether someone needs a blanket, or someone needs a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or someone wants to send their kids to camp so they can understand the joy and the love of God, we do it because we're family. We provide for our family. So this year, as you think about the stewardship campaign, think about it as not just, I've got to give my pledge to the church. Rather, I'm giving it to my family. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we ask you to bless these gifts Allow them to spread the faith, hope, and love that you have shown to each and every one of us. We know we are a family, not only in this congregation, but in this community, in our state, and throughout the world. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to spread your word throughout. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Doxology, doxology, thank you, Steve. That was the plan. Let's see, all right. First scripture lesson is Dennis's favorite, Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, at the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we are not going to read the entire chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. But we will read from Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And that's where we will stop with that. And there's a note. And as Dennis has indicated, today is the beginning of our stewardship campaign. And for the next few weeks, we will be focusing our time together on faith, hope, and love, those three little words of Paul that are all too often reserved just for weddings. But you see, they weren't written for weddings, although on occasion, some few, they're appropriate there. These words were written for the Christian community. And they were written for the way in which we live together, in the way in which we live and move and have our being as the body of Christ, as the church. Now, we'll talk more about this later in the weeks to come, but 1 Corinthians 13 presumes that we understand our identity as children of God. As those who have been made in the image and likeness of God, it presumes that we understand our purpose and our work as partners with God in caring for each other and for the creation. We are partners. We are caretakers. We are stewards. And we, as the body of Christ, are taken back to our beginnings, back to those first moments of our creation. And as we do that on our way, we are going to pause just for a brief moment to look at another year, not unlike this one, 2020, in many ways. 1968 was a horrible year. Some of you will remember it was the worst year in Vietnam for casualties. The Tet Offensive, you will remember. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in Los Angeles. There were revolts and riots and student protests happening all over the world. The Soviet Union invaded Czechoslovakia to end the Prague Spring. The Summer Olympics in Mexico City were boycotted by 32 African nations because South Africa participated. It was a very difficult year. And then in December, Apollo 8 was launched. Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and William Anders became the first human beings to orbit the moon. And one quarter, 25% of the people living at the time, of the people alive on the planet at the time, listened and watched at least part of the Apollo 8 broadcasts on television or on the radio. The Apollo 8 astronauts were the first human beings to photograph the Earth. We are technologically challenged here this morning, and I know this isn't very close. You remember this photograph? I know it's hard to see, but you get the gist of it, right? Y'all remember this? Earthrise. Remember seeing this? Okay, somebody shake a head. Okay? If you don't, that's okay. But Earthrise. This was the photograph. This is the first picture of Earth ever taken. And it was taken by William Anders on Apollo 8. And it was chosen in 2003 as the first of Life magazine's 100 photographs that changed the world. It was on the cover. Life magazine, remember that? It was wonderful. The astronauts. Those few who have been to space have a unique perspective of our planet. They are the ones who are able to see the forest, the big picture. The Earth, they have said, looks small and fragile. From space, its problems cannot be seen, but its beauty can be. Alan Shepard once said, if somebody had said before the flight, are you going to get carried away looking at the Earth from the moon? I would have said, no way. But yet when I first looked back at the Earth standing on the moon, he said, I cried. Jim Lovell, who flew on Apollo 8 and Apollo 13, y'all seen the movie. He said, we learned a lot about the moon, but what we really learned about was the Earth. He said, the fact that just from the distance of the moon to the Earth, you can put your thumb up and you can blot it all out. Your family, your problems, everything. You can blot it all out. You can see how insignificant we all really are. But you can also see how fortunate we are to have this body, the Earth, and how fortunate we are to be able to enjoy living here amongst the beauty of the Earth itself. Roger Chaffee was one of the Apollo 1 astronauts killed on the launch pad fire. But he was also a Navy pilot with the Heavy Photographic Squadron who said, the world itself looks cleaner and so much more beautiful. Maybe we can make it that way. The way God intended it to be. By giving everybody that new perspective from out in space. I think it's very surprising that it's astronauts who would remind us of what the world is intended to be, of God's intention for the world, and what humans are here to do. God's intention for this good earth. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be." All of creation is holy because it is God's. And yes, we do bear the image of the Creator, but we are still a part of the creation. We share basic origins with the whole of creation, with the earth. The earth is made by God. The earth belongs to God. The earth has no life apart from God. The earth exists in relationship with God. Walter Brueggemann says, "There is nothing careless, casual, or accidental about the creation of the earth. It is purposeful, meaningful, and intentional." God speaks the good earth into being. God speaks and fills the earth with good things, plants and trees and animals, a garden of abundance, an earth of abundance. God speaks and the earth responds. As the psalmist says, "You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The hills gird themselves with joy. They shout and sing together for joy." The earth responds to its creator with joy. And from the earth, God creates an earthling. Little play on words there. God creates an earthling to care for this world. In that day, the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no herb of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a steam would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed humankind from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. This story is from Genesis 2. It is the first and original potter and clay. God picks up, God scoops up the Adama. Adama is the red clay of the earth. You can't get that stuff out of clothes in Georgia, people. You can't. The Adama. And then God forms Adam, the earth creature. Huh? Adama, Adam. Adam from Adama, earth and the earthling. We are made from the earth. We are made of the earth. And like the earth, we belong to our creator. Like the earth, we exist in relationship with our creator. And our creator has entrusted us with the care of that from which we have been made. In Genesis 2, the human is made before the plants because there's no one to till and keep the ground. Someone's needed to care for the earth. Walter Brueggemann reminds us that dominion, when God says the humans are to fill the earth, subdue the earth, and have dominion, dominion is not about doing whatever you want to. Dominion is power. But in God's world, it's not about that. Dominion is about service. It's not exploitation and abuse. It has to do with securing the well-being of every other creature and bringing the promise of each to fruition. And he says, moreover, a Christian understanding of dominion must be discerned in the way of Jesus. The one who rules is the one who serves. The power of dominion lies in our relationship to our Maker. We are the image, we are the likeness, and so we follow in the Creator's ways of care and abundance. Creation is a garden of abundance, and we have been made to share in the Maker's work of abundant life. We are the caretakers. We are the stewards of God's good earth. We see the big picture. We see the big picture, and so wilderness and forest and ocean and river and water matters to us. Air pollution matters to us. Endangered species matter to us. Toxic waste matters to us. Drought, wildfire, flooding, and hurricane matters to us. Reduce, reuse, recycle. These are the vocabulary words of faith. Green is the color of faith. But just don't stop listening yet. Like the Episcopal building downtown, it's a LEED building. It's an environmentally friendly building. And they're very proud of that. Very proud of that. They built it in 2009. We're not all going to agree on how we care for God's good earth. We're going to do that in a variety of ways. A few of us, like Wendell Berry, Matthew Sleeth, and John Cobb, do big things, big public things. Most of us are going to do small things. But they are just as significant and just as important for the earth. Like, how many of y'all use programmable thermostats? Huh? Or LED or CFL light bulbs? How many of you consider the energy ratings when you go buy a new appliance? We don't want to waste money. These things make a difference. We carry refillable water bottles. We used to take cloth bags to the grocery store, and I'm hoping we will again. We recycle plastic grocery bags. We recycle paper, plastic, metal, glass, and we can't recycle number 5 plastics. And I wish somebody would do something about that, because I got a bunch of it. When did you last think of recycling as an act of faith? Or when did you last think of using a refillable water bottle as an act of faith? It is. Our children teach us about the ways they have learned to help the environment at school, and in return, we teach them that God has made all of us to help take care of the earth. And this is how stewardship education begins. We grow our gardens, we tend our flowers. Nobody does it better than Belle. We tend our yards and our trees, our fallen branches. We take care of the church lawn, people. These are acts of faith. These are acts of stewardship. Caring for God's good earth. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, the earth itself responds to the crucifixion of Jesus. From noon on, the gospel says, darkness came over the whole earth. Then Jesus cried with a loud voice and breathed his last. And at that moment, that very moment, the curtain in the temple ripped from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks split. The earth knows. 3 days later, the earth is still listening. As the first day of the week was dawning, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. The earth lives in relationship with its Maker. And if we were singing, which we're not out of an abundance of caution today. We would be singing, Jesus lives again. Earth can breathe again. Pass the word around. Loaves abound. That is the big picture. Let us pray. Creator God, may we walk this day in the realm of grace, walking with you, our feet firmly on your earth, our hearts loving all as kindred, our words and deeds alive with mercy. May we walk on your earth as blessing, meeting blessing at every turn, in every challenge, blessing in opposition, blessing in harm's way, blessing. May we walk on your earth each step in this moment of grace, alert to hear you and awake enough to say a simple yes. Amen. Well, we have no closing hymn, so will you please stand for the benediction? Before that, though, I did neglect something important to share with you during the prayer concerns that many of you may know about. Tom Dallar's nephew died this week, his brother's son, and it happened just before they were to leave for his brother's memorial service in Albuquerque. The memorial service was canceled, and so please remember Tom in your prayers. There's a world of hurt in that family right now, and I neglected to mention that. So, your last name?
Pomerleau.
General Pomerleau. It is a pleasure to have you. Thank you for your service and your continued service to our country. We are most grateful, and we're just happy to see you, so thank you. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.